bound. I'm convinced and I'm worried about an older generation that was taught that if you were just good enough, if you just worked enough, if you just attended church, if you just went through your confirmation class, if you did these things, it would get you to heaven, when none of those things are biblical. It's just what we've been told all of our lives. See, we got a lot of older people that believe what they believe because they were told to believe that as kids, but that doesn't mean it lines up with Scripture. And it concerns me. I see a generation that thinks they can run around and have multiple women in their lives or multiple men in their lives. I see a young generation that thinks they can go and party every weekend, that they think homosexuality is okay. They think going to the club is okay. They think going to the concerts is okay. They think living like hell is okay. But hey, I believe in Jesus, and they think that's enough. And I'm telling you, a lot of people even here today are being fooled that they're on their way to heaven. And I'm telling you now, some of you all are hell bound today. I'm going to make you make a choice today. Simple. Because if you don't make a choice, you made a choice. I'm concerned why we say Christianity and we just throw it around kind of like we do the word love, right? I've been teaching the kids in chapel. I say, I love pizza. I love the Washington Redskins. I love Michigan Wolverines. I love my wife. Is it different to love your wife than a piece of pizza? You better hope so. And we kind of throw Christianity around like that, though, right? We go, well, I'm a Christian. Well, what makes you a Christian? And some of you are smart enough because you're educated enough to go, well, I have a belief in Jesus Christ. And you can quote all this, but your life screams the devil. Your life screams hell-bound. It's going to be simple today. I'm probably not smart enough to make it complicated. You ready? The choice, Matthew 7, verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He says there's only two options. There's not 20 ways to heaven. There's not different roads to heaven. There's not different ways to heaven, contrary to what many people teach. There's one way to heaven. There was a Columbia researcher that in her study, she said this, that on average, a person makes about 70 decisions in one day. And so according to her numbers, she said that means that you make about 25,500 decisions in a year. She said over a 70-year life, that means you make almost 1.8 million choices. But she said this as a believer. She said, but there's only one decision that will really matter in eternity. See, the truth is today that I wonder how you'll respond to Jesus. I wonder if you will confess him or you will deny him. And I want to remind you of something. You can say belief all day and still deny Jesus. You can believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he walked this earth, that he did miraculous things, that he took the cross, that he died and he rose again, and you can still go to hell because you can deny him in your heart. You can know the Word of God, you can believe the Word of God, and deny Him in your heart, deny Him access, deny Him control of your life. And so you'll either trust Him or you'll turn from Him. You will either accept Him or reject Him. You will either live for Him or you won't. And let me tell you something, living like hell is a choice. And denying Him is a choice. And today you'll make a choice. You have to decide whether he is the way, the truth, or the life. You have to determine in your heart, to make a choice if he's the only way, because there is no other way. No works, no being good, no being a great man or woman, no baptism, and none of those things will get you there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So he goes, a man, a guy, a human being, he has his own agenda. He has his own idea. You know why? Because everybody wants to make the Bible what fits their life. He said, "They men's got their own ideas and their own agenda, but he said, their ways will lead you to death. Many people, they're trying to get to heaven based upon good works. In other words, I've done my good deed. I think I'm a pretty good person. Can I tell you all something? Listen to me. There's always somebody that thinks you're a good person. She's probably your mom. But there's always somebody that thinks you're a good person. You know, I would hope there'd be people that meet me and go, man, that pastor, he's a good man. But yet the Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says my righteousness is as filthy rags. The Word of God that we read says this, Pastor Mike's not a good man at all. I'm sure there are people that think I'm a horrible man. But the opinion that matters is what God sees in the heart of that man. But people think good works. They think, well, if I do enough, right? Like there's the scale in heaven. If I do enough, I'm going to make it. But yet the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't get to heaven based off of anything that you do. Many people, they're expecting to get to heaven because of their religion. You talk to people about this, they go, I'm Baptist. Well, I'm Methodist. I'm Catholic. I'm this. I'm that. Those things are religions. They're not a relationship with Christ. Because I go to a Baptist church doesn't make me saved. It doesn't make me, because I'm Baptist, it doesn't mean that I eat, like to have food with every fellowship that we have at the church. Amen. I mean, there's some connection there, but it's not true. I don't go to Walmart and become old. You get that one? I witnessed to somebody at Walmart this week. True story. Deanna goes, go to Walmart, pick up this, this, and that. I just have to tell you this real quick. It has nothing to do with our message at all. But I told the lady at the front desk, literally, I go through there and I'm telling you something. I told her, I said, it's like going to church coming here. She goes, I've never heard that. What do you mean? I go, I'm learning patience. I'm learning compassion. I'm learning to love through the love my enemies. I mean, man, anyway, let's move forward. But your religion won't save you. Because the book of John chapter 3 verse 3 says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot get to heaven unless your spirit is changed. Some people think, well, if I believe. Well, if I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, then I'll be saved, right? And that's been preached a long time in church. If you just believe, but yet James said in James 2:19, he says, thou believest that there is one God. He goes, you do good, you do well, great job. He goes, but the devil believes too. So even believing in Jesus is not enough to get me to heaven. Others base it off of church membership. But the Word of God in Revelation 20:15, it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Listen, if your name don't make the book, you won't make it to heaven. It doesn't matter if your name is recorded in a church office. What matters is whether your name is written in heaven. I wonder, is yours today? There's other things and other reasons that people believe they can make it to heaven, but we're going to talk about the truth today. And we're going to talk about what the Word of God says, because there's a path, that passage said that we read, that is a path of destruction, and there's a path of deliverance. And each person will make a choice. So here's Jesus, and he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, we call it, and he's at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, and he begins to say, look, there are two options here. There's a way that's broad and it leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life. You can only go one or the other. You're either saved or lost. You're a believer or you're an unbeliever. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. And you have to make a choice before you leave here today. And the truth is, again, I'm going to say this. To make no choice, you made a choice. So we're going to look at number one today. You'll choose the path. Will you choose the path of destruction? Go with me to verse 13. Let's look at it again. Will you choose the path of destruction? It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So Jesus makes it clear that there's this broad path that leads to destruction. Now, he also reveals the fact that many people go through this gate. And I want to examine a few things about this path. One, the path of destruction is an effortless path. Can I say something to you? Listen to me today. I need you to pay attention. Is this. It will take you nothing to get to hell. It is an effortless path to get to hell. In the beginning of verse 13, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way." You know, there were two different types of roads for the Jewish people. And I want to tell you, going to Israel, you can see this in certain elements in real life in that country. But there were public roads, and public roads in this country, they were approximately 24 feet wide. So get that picture in your mind, right? But then there were private roads that were somewhere around 6 foot wide. And the broad path, or the path of destruction, is the path that is easy to navigate, right? This road is wide, and there's plenty of room on it. You know, I tell you guys often about this. Like, I love Sarasota. I love that area. And after going to the Niagara Falls and going to New York and experiencing the snow and the ice and all that, I'm thinking this. There's no way I'm leaving Florida for retirement. This is home, man. This is where I need to be. It's why the snowbirds come down, and you get up there, and it's really cute for a couple minutes. But I'm like, man, babe, one day, Sarasota's the place. I mean, I'm just going to get old, decrepit, and we're gonna go to Sarasota. That's going to be it. Or maybe we just rent a hotel every once in a while, and that'll fit us. Let's just go, but we got to go to Sarasota. And to get to Sarasota, right, there's different ways. I mean, you can get on 301. You can take some different back roads. You can take different ways to get there. But the easiest way to get to Sarasota, really, is just Morris Bridge Road, right, to 75 and just start cruising. 84 miles to my favorite restaurant, amen? 86 to the popsicle store. You with me? And think I'm kidding, I know it. I know how to get there, and I know how to get there fast. But I'm going to tell you, the interstate's different. Why? Because there's more lanes. But the difference when it comes to the road that the Bible's talking about is this. There's only one way there. You can't take 301. You can't take back roads. But in your life, you have a choice of what road you take. You have a choice of what way you choose to go. But you need to understand that there's one choice that leads to destruction. And it's an effortless path. Again, it takes zero effort to go the wide gate. In fact, I want to tell you something. You came into this world on the broad way. You came into this world on the broad road. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, having a grandbaby has been such a blessing. And I'm going to say, as I say this often, I love my kids, but I think I love my grandkids more. I didn't realize that was possible because I really love my kids. I mean, they're my babies. They're my kids. But I really don't too much care about Mikey and Tawny anymore. Just give me the baby, right? Like, I love you, but they're more important than you, and it's just the truth. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want no problems with you. But just bring the baby. Amen? But I learned something about my grandson is this. He's a year and a half, and he already sins. Well, what do you mean? I mean, he already knows how to lie, cheat, connive. He says to me this. We found that he loved bananas. He loves them. I mean, I'm talking, he loves them. But he had never really had an orange, so I'm like, I'm going to give him an orange. So I take this, like, a tangerine, the little cuties, I peel it open. No exaggeration, listen to me. Just a few nights ago, he had 10 cuties by himself. He's a year and a half. He's a diabetic and a pig waiting to happen, amen? But this kid, he eats the whole orange. He loves those things, right? And he'll go, "Papa," this is voice, man. Again, you know, it's done right there. It's "Papa." And I go, "What, Bubby?" He goes, "Sorange." And I said, "Sorange." He goes, "Sorange." I said, "All right, let's go get a sorange." So I go to the refrigerator, give him another sorange. "Thank you." Connive. "You're welcome." "Papa." 2 minutes later. "More." Sorange. Conniver. Do you know that we're brought into this world in sin? That is our nature. It's a supernatural thing to take the narrow path. It's easy to live the life of what everybody else is living. It takes no effort to want to live how you want to. It takes no effort to follow the lusts of the flesh, to enjoy the pleasures of the world. It takes no effort to sin because sin comes natural. But discipline takes effort. But the broad way takes no effort. I want to ask you something sincerely, from the youngest to the oldest in this room. Are you just doing your own thing right now? Who is in control of your life this morning, honestly? You just do your own thing. You do what you want. You make your own rules. Maybe you've become so hard-hearted to the things of God. Maybe you're in a really bad place that the Lord can't even get to you because you're not allowing Him to penetrate your heart. You've blocked out the Holy Spirit. And no matter what somebody says, no matter what the Word says, you're going to keep doing your own thing. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're hell-bound. I see our young people, you know, they just do what they feel regardless of the Scripture. You can show them Scripture. They'll show up at church. They try to act biblical. There's adults the same. But, you know, it's like we've got a youth full of people, right? These young adults. I was thinking this morning. I said, Sean has a gigantic task. Rich has a gigantic task. Because they took on this young adults class, and I'm telling you something, we're losing those kids left and right to sin, and they're boastful about it. And it's like, you know, if they want to go and drink and get drunk, they think nothing of it because it's just what they feel. They just go and live it up because they think there's no repercussion. They think that's okay, and then sit in church on Sunday. We got people in the church that thinks homosexuality, it's okay, just go do your thing. And if it feels good to you, do it. And if you want to go party, just go and do it. And there's no consequence. I have to tell you that there's a consequence for every choice we make. And they go, they just go do their thing. No effort to live that life. No effort to go just sleep around. No effort to go live like hell. No effort to do it. But the saddest thing is this. It's not me trying to hit on you. It's not me trying to knock you down. It's not me trying to kick you today. It's just saying this, that my heart breaks for people in our congregation and in our church and in our family and people in our ministry and people who think that that's the life they want to live and they're headed for hell. And if someone don't stand and go, man, young people, you're headed for hell if you think that's the lifestyle you can live. We got adults, if you think that's the lifestyle how you can live, they're headed to hell. If someone don't stand and tell them, I don't want the blood on my hands. We become cowards to tell people the truth. That path of destruction is an effortless path. The path of destruction is a dangerous path. If you look at verse 13, it says this. It says, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Notice that part. That leadeth to destruction. It's a dangerous path. Destruction, it says it in its own name. It's so evident. Destruction. Every path leads to somewhere. The wide gate and the broad path leads to destruction. This destruction, it's another word that means death. It's the idea of what Romans 6:23 says when it says, for the wages of sin is death. But this path does not just lead to physical death. You know, we all know people who have caught up in things that they shouldn't have, and it's led to their death. Maybe even prematurely, right? Somebody gets into alcohol or gets into drugs, and it leads to death, or they overdose, or someone's life we feel like is cut short because of this lifestyle they live. But this death he's talking about is a spiritual death. Can I tell you there's something worse than physically dying, and it's spiritually death. Spiritually dying. It doesn't just lead to physical death, it leads to the second death. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, it says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what? Every one of us in this room, we fit somewhere in that scripture. And he says this, unless you've been born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The only answer to Revelation 21:8 is Jesus. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you are on a very dangerous path. I tell you this as a brokenhearted man. I don't tell you this to try to be cruel or mean, but I'm telling you, I'm brokenhearted individually for some of you that I could call by name today. Because I watch some of you kids and some of you adults just think that you can go do your thing, and it's not going to lead to the right thing. You'd tell your kids this. Some of you adults that are walking that walk, you'd tell your kids, hey, don't do that. Your choices have consequences. Hey, let me remind you, so do yours. You know, the path of destruction, it's a crowded path. Verse 13 says, and many there be which go in thereat. He says, this place will be full. That road will be full. Jesus says that many will enter the wide gate. Many will travel the broad path. Though there are many on this path, it's very broad, right? The idea that it's wide open. Again, let me say this. You can do whatever you want on that path that leads to destruction. You can be a vile, wretched sinner. You can live a good moral life if you want to and still take that path. You can be a heathen or you can be religious. The broad path is traveled by drunks, by drug addicts, by pimps, by prostitutes, by homosexuals, by adulterers, by rapists, by murderers. But I have to tell you this, it's also traveled by preachers. It's also traveled by priests, by youth ministers, by deacons, by elders, by missionaries, by Sunday school teachers, by singers, by church members. It's walked by Christian school teachers and Christian daycare workers, and it's also walked by so-called Christians. There are tons of religious people who've entered the wide gate and are traveling. There are atheists and agnostics and Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Jews and Catholics and Protestants. The path is crowded with Presbyterians and Episcopalians and Methodists and Assembly of God and Church of Christ and Church of God, Church of God in Christ, and yes, Baptists that have chose to walk the light of path, the darkness, the path of destruction, the broad way. There are members of this church who are walking on this path right now. There are people in this building today walking on this path. There are many who go to church and pray and read their Bibles and witness, and others that are on this path. There are people who have not surrendered to Christ. You know, they've never been born again, but they play the front as if they had. I need to ask you today, seriously, look up here and listen to me. Are you sure you're born again? Are you positive that you know Jesus? I'm going to tell you, I remember starting, you know, only knowing what I knew from other people in ministry. And I remember in this church first starting our way of doing the altar call and the invitation, like, hey, if you've never been saved, raise your hand, right? And so people would raise their hand and we'd go, just say this prayer today. If you just say this, you'll be saved. And I'm not saying that that's the worst method in the world. I'm not telling you that that's completely wrong, but here's the problem with it. If the people that claim Christianity are still living the life of unbelievers, what does it say? What it tells us is this, that there are people that are deceived in the church thinking that they're born again, thinking that they're heaven bound, that are not. Because the Bible says in 1 John 2:19, he said, if they were with us, in other words, if they were part of the body of Jesus Christ, he said they never would have went out from us. What does that say about some of you who used to be on fire for God, that today you're just a drunk? What does it say about people who sit in our church who used to be on fire for Jesus Christ and involved, that now there's some secret sin that you don't tell nobody? Could it be that you never had it? It absolutely could be that you never had it. Am I preaching today that you'll be perfect when you know Christ? No way. Unfortunately, you still will sin. But I'm going to tell you something. How long can a dog lay in his vomit? At what point, how hard do we have to preach? How much conviction do you need to stand up and go, I'm turning, I'm coming back, I'm going to go the other direction? And it's a sad place in the church today. You know, Brother Patrick's been doing a Sunday school class. Some of you don't know about that, but we have Sunday school, amen? That was me taking a shot at you, by the way. And he's been talking about outreach. And many of us, we can't reach out because we're not even reached yet. We're not prepared, but we're not even reached yet. It's hard to reach out when you're not reached. I want you to really think about this as we finish this thing in a few minutes. I'm so terrified. I talk to Brother Eric about this often, is what we use this word, false convert. In other words, somebody believes they're born again or claims Christianity, but it's not sincere. Again, I promise you, I'm not trying to be cruel, but I come up here this whole week, this has been so hard and heavy on me because I'm like, man, God, how is it that we continue to live this way yet claim Christianity? There has to be a difference in us because you're in us. And what I'm convinced of, a lot of people try to do it in their own willpower. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to change. That'll only last for so long. It may be months. It may be years. And as a believer today, you may be saved, but you know you're out of the will of God. Maybe you go, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again, but you're living like hell. And I'm going to tell you, you're bringing people down with you. You're still an example to your children, to your friends, to people around you. And if the light isn't shining, there's a problem. Last point is this: will you choose the path of deliverance, though? Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus offers a better path in verse 14. It's a path that leads to life. In fact, it leads to eternal life. The good news is that you have an opportunity to change the path you're on. Again, I want to say something to you. As a Christian, I want you to hear this. As a believer, you can be saved today. You can have fire insurance and still be walking a broad way. Yeah, if you died, you'd go to heaven, but you're not being a testimony to other people. You're not being a witness. You're not being an example. You're not affecting anybody for the kingdom of God. You're just here. That's not what God intended. There's an invitation for you to enter in the straight gate. He goes, enter in. He goes, because straight is a gate, narrow is a way. But look at this part, which leadeth unto life. This is more than a description of a gate. This is a plea from Jesus to enter in at his gate. And the gate is him. In John chapter 10, verse 7, he says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find a pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal. He's talking about Satan here, and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Listen to me. If you're living that life, that broad way, let me explain something to you. You might think it's fun now, but give it a minute. From experience, and many adults can tell this, young people, listen to me, you may want to live however you want to live, but I promise you something. One day, it won't be as joyous as you think. Because that stuff is fun for a season. But when you meet Jesus Christ, and I mean this, and I can tell you from, again, I've lived both sides of it, that there's nothing greater than being in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the door. Your church isn't the door. You reading your Bible isn't the door. You being a good person isn't the door. He goes, Jesus Christ is the door. He's the only way in. He said, you better believe that while I'm at work knocking on the door, so is Satan. He's coming in and going, oh, don't do that. Go live your life. Go the broad way. Do your own thing. Be your own God. Live your own life. And he goes, but you better remember that the thief came to do nothing but steal, destroy, and kill. He wants your soul. And at the end of it, it won't be a good life. But he goes, if you serve me, he goes, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. The straight gate leads to the narrow path. The only way to get to this path is through Jesus Christ. And contrary to what many people teach, I hear even believers say this and it makes me cringe. Well, everybody's just taking a different road to heaven. That is a lie. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's what you've been told all your life because someone wanted to make you feel good about yourself and go, you can live with how you want and you can get back to Jesus. That's a lie. There's one way to Jesus, not many ways to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. Somebody who don't believe Jesus Christ is the one and the only way and the Savior, they will go to hell. Well, preacher, do you think Muslims, like I said, if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, they will go to hell? My God was not just a prophet. He is the Savior. He wasn't a good dude, a good man. He ain't my homeboy. He's my Lord. And if they believe contrary to the Word of God, why? Because the authority isn't you. The authority isn't the pastor. The authority isn't the Sunday school teacher. The authority isn't what some man told you when he knocked on your door. The authority is the Word of God. And it says Jesus Christ is the way. And in order to enter this narrow gate, you have to leave some things behind. Today, you're going to have to leave your religion behind. Some of you look really religious. You're here. I mean, you're religious. I mean, your grandpa was a pastor. Your dad's preached before. Congratulate. Oh, my gosh, Mikey, you are so religious. You're the pastor's kid. I've never heard a foul word out of your mouth. Congratulate. You're so religious. That'll get you to hell. Religion will send you straight to hell. Religious. You're going to have to leave your religion behind and get a relationship. You're going to have to leave your pride behind. Today, I'm going to give an altar call. I'm going to give you every opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you, you're already fighting. Because your pride's in the way. You don't want anybody to see you slip your hand up. You don't want to see anybody to see you come forward. You wouldn't want anybody to think that it might humiliate you. You're going to have to leave your self-righteousness behind. You're not good enough. I am not good enough. You're going to have to leave your sins behind. Again, I want to say this to make this clear. I'm not implying that those who are on the narrow path have reached sinless perfection. I'm going to tell you, I'm a great sinner. I'm not saying that you have to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus. In fact, I'm saying just the opposite. You come today exactly how you are, and Jesus will do the cleaning. Man, I'm pleading with you to come to Jesus as you are. To simply repent of your sins, to turn from it. Make an intentional break with your current way of life and trust Jesus as the Savior and embrace His plan for life. Will you fail? Absolutely. Will you sin? Unfortunately so. But sin will no longer be your way of life. Because I'm convinced of this. When you really trust Jesus Christ as Savior, there will be an intense desire inside of you to walk with Him, to follow Him, to please Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, to obey Him, and to be like Him. And if you don't have any of those desires today, you probably don't know Him. The invitation's, hey, look, here's the straight gate. Come on in. The incentive to going that way is what it says in verse 13. He says, there's few that go that way, but by the way, this is the way that leads to life. See, just as the path of destruction leads to death, the path of deliverance leads to life. And I'm thinking about this. Brother John Munsterman just passed away last Sunday. And, you know, many of you didn't know him maybe or know him, but one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And the thing about it is he would walk in this building and he would be every time. I mean, he was just an encouragement and he loved the Lord, and no matter what he's going through, he was just positive, and he was just ready to serve. And he told us so. He had been battling COPD for some time. He said, I know my time is short, this kind of thing. He knew all this stuff, but he would always say this to me. He goes, you know what? He goes, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But he says, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. I want to tell you something. Regardless of your age, you don't know your day, but I'm telling you, Jesus is coming to get His people again. But are you ready? Are you prepared to meet your Maker? See, that promise about the life that leads to life. The promise is only for those who know Jesus. It's only for those who have been born again. It's only for those who enter in at the straight gate and travel the narrow path. I want to know, does that describe you today? If not, then you're traveling the broad path. But you can make a choice. You know, this morning I was reviewing and I was reading that passage that Brother John would always say, John 14, 1 through 3. And I was like, man, you know what? What an awesome thing it's going to be one day I got to tell you something. It's not like I'm in a hurry, right? I'm not like, Lord, take me today. I'm ready to die a diabetic. Amen? But I got to tell you this. I'm not afraid of it either. What a glorious day it's going to be to meet Jesus. But if you don't choose Jesus, you need to understand, you're still going to meet Him. It just probably isn't going to be in the way you want it to. I don't know about you, but I know which path sounds better to me. As Miss Susan goes to the piano, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. I want you to listen and really get focused here, but there's a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10, and it'll come up on the screen, Romans chapter 10, and verses 9 and 10, and I want you to look exactly what this says. Everybody pay attention to this. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to get this. Listen in as we go to this invitation. He said, there comes this point, and this is why the old school church would go, okay, say this prayer, as they wanted to cover that part of it. But can I tell you something? It's your heart that matters. You won't have an option but to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus when you've received Him. It will happen. He said, but with your mouth, what does it mean? It means with my words, with my heart, I'm going to speak to Christ. I want to tell you something. You can pray all day what it says on the back of a tract. If it's not your heart, you're not going to be born again. And that's why no man can judge if somebody's saved or not. You can go, well, that's my pastor. He's saved. You do not know if I'm born again. Maybe my fruits say I'm born again. Maybe that because of my preaching you think I'm born again. But only God truly knows my heart. You can never assume a man is saved. I come to this church, I go, Miss Nell, I mean, she's been here longer than me. I know her fruits. I know she loves God. I know she's a woman of God. And I believe that she's born again. But the truth is, she needs to hear this message. Because if she sat there and didn't know Jesus, only she knows that in her heart. These young men showed up, and I'm so thankful, but I'm like, only they know in their heart if they really know Jesus. Oh, only you kids here, only you know in your heart what path you're on. Only you know if you know Jesus. No man can determine that, because you're here, it looks great, and we would make the assumption you're saved, but it doesn't make you saved. I mean, what a precious family. I mean, they must be, but I don't know, because see, it's not my job to determine the heart of people. It's my job just to preach. It's my job just to just keep preaching. It's our job just to put the word out, to sow the seed and let people choose whether they receive. It's for them to determine what path they're on. I mean, I look at our church and I go, these are my people. I love these people. They're good people. But there are good people that choose the path that's their own route, their own way. He goes, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm not just going to spit out some words, but from the depth of my heart, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Can I tell you, I think that's the biggest difference is this. It's not about saying some words. It's about literally giving your life to Christ and going, I'm not in control anymore. You now become the Lord of my life. You now dictate my life. I go where you tell me to go. I do what you tell me to do. That's a difference. I believe that Donald Trump's the president, but that don't mean I'm going to do everything Donald Trump tells me to do. I don't know if I trust him like that. But the creator of the universe who gave me life, I trust him. And I say, You, I give you all of me. That's what this verse is talking about. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart, you can't have one without the other. You can say all the words you want, but if you don't believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, then you can't be saved. And he says, if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, I don't believe he's just another God. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he was put on a cross for my sin. I believe he shed his perfect, innocent blood for me. And then the great news is this. He died and they put him in a tomb, but even death couldn't contain our God. And when you meet him, death can't contain you anymore. that you have eternal life, everlasting life. He goes, those people who do those things, in the end of verse 9, says, thou shalt be saved. You're given a promise that you're saved for an eternity. In verse 10, he says, for with thy heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with thy mouth confession is made. So he says this, my heart has to believe Jesus. Doing this, turning to Jesus, is without a doubt the greatest choice you could ever make. Brother Patrick was teaching this class this morning, and man, I was so antsy in there. I swear to you, I mean, I was so restless. I was tapping my, like I'm a drummer or something over here. Like, what the heck? I have no musical talent whatsoever. And I could just feel the Spirit. Like, I was like, I leaned over to my mother-in-law. I said, someone today is going to give their life to Jesus Christ. And I know it. And I walk in and these three young men, I don't know them from Adam. I know Colin, but the other, I'm like, I don't know. And maybe it's them. And I go, man, I pray these kids who are just walking, maybe it's them. And maybe it's somebody who's sat in here week after week and they've faked it. And my heart's so heavy because I see a generation of people that can, they claim Christ, but they're so far from Him. I see people that say, I'm a Christian, but it's so much effort to try to even make it to church. I mean, where is your heart? And so I want to speak to you for maybe 10 more minutes, maybe 30, but I don't know. But I want to tell you something. If you're a believer today and you know somewhere in your life you're not walking this out, I'm going to call you first. We're not bowing our heads. We're not closing our eyes. If you're here and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but you know you're far from Him today, I want you to do something about it today. Because if we're not the light, if we don't make a difference, if we don't preach the gospel with our lives, if we're not a living sermon, understand this. Be prepared to bury your children. Be prepared to bury grandchildren. Be prepared to bury people in your life that don't know Jesus, and then you'll regret because you didn't say it, because you didn't live it in front of them. I often ask the Lord, why would you have me preach a message like this? It's so simple. It's so silly. Our people know this. Our people are grounded. Our people know Jesus. Our people have been taught well. I really believe that. Why would you do it? And then it's like He just continues to overwhelm me like this. Because they need it. Because believers need to be challenged. Because believers need to step up. Because believers need to be a testimony. Because believers need to be an example. Because believers need to get correct sometimes. We fall off track and we need to get a nice swift kick right in the rear end sometimes. And if that is you today, if you go, Pastor, I know that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, but my life is nowhere where it needs to be. I wonder if anyone in this room has the guts today like me, because I'm going to tell you something. I ran to the altar preparing this message because I'm far from where I should be in lots of areas of my life. Who would be the first to go, that's me, and come today and lay it before the foot of Jesus? They say, I'm covered in the blood. Now, I know that much, but I know I'm far from God. Is there anyone here today? Anyone here today like that? Would you repent? Would you turn? Would you make it right? I mean, think about those changes that need to be made in your life. And maybe you go, man, I don't, boy, I'm scared. I need to go, but I'm not going. Listen, then right there, begin to pray. Right in your seat, begin to pray. And then let's do this as they're praying. Now let's just bow our heads right now where we're at. Let's just close our eyes right where we're at. I want to ask you something today. If you're here and you go, Pastor, if I'm being real, I'd go to hell today if I died. If you go, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, Pastor. I'm not positive I would go to heaven. If you're even guessing, you go, Preacher, if I just was real with you, me and you in this room alone, and you asked that question, I would have to tell you, I'm not sure. I'm not positive I'm making it to heaven. I'm not positive that I'm heaven bound. I'm not positive that I know Jesus in that way, Preacher. Can you do something for me seriously with all the courage you can? Just raise your hand right now and say, I'm not sure if I'd be in heaven. Raise your hand right where you're at. Come on. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hands. I see your hands. Listen, This is what Scripture says. You can put your hands right back down. The Scripture says this. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will trust that He's the Savior, that He died for you, if you'll believe that in your heart today, with all your heart, you put your full weight of trust in Him, right? You say, I'm surrendering everything I am to Jesus Christ. And again, will it make you perfect? No way. Quit thinking like that. Quit getting this idea. Your life's going to radically change, but you still won't be perfect. But there are four or five hands that went up, and this is all I want to do. Can I get a few ladies up here that feel confident? Come up, that could show someone. Give me a couple guys up here real quick. Come on. Listen to me, those of you, those of you that raised your hand, I want to tell you something right now. Listen to me. Don't you wait. You ladies that slipped your hand up, get up here right this minute. Come on, I'm telling you. Come up and talk to these ladies, and they can show you exactly in Scripture. Maybe you just need some reinsurance. I don't want you to be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't let the, hey, remember what we talked about, pride. Don't you let the devil keep you in that seat. If you're one of the men that slipped your hand up and you said, look, I'm not born again. I don't think I'm heaven bound. Then come on, do something about it right now. If you want to come see me, I'm right here. Let's go. We'll go out of this room this second. We'll go somewhere private and talk about it. But you quit sitting there. Today's the day. If it's you, come on, we're right here for you. If you want your family to go, grab your family and we'll go together, all of us. Let's go.